If it's happening in sports in Saskatchewan, we've got it covered. The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll-free 1-866-767-0620. On your radio at 620 CKRM and online at sportscage.com.
And welcome inside the Sports Cage, Saskatchewan, on this Thursday, April 18th, a snowy day down here in the Regina area. Up north, I know you're dealing with a lot of snow. It's wonderful to be back. It's Barney Shankarik here and the Sports Cage on Thursdays for extreme hockey and sport in Regina. Baseball, softball, they do those as well. Don't forget. The new owners and same great service of 35 years in Regina. Joining me today, Coulson's got the board covered and Sharky is back. And Sharky, it feels like we haven't been together in the pit here for about 2 weeks. And it almost has been 2 weeks.
It's been over 2 weeks, yeah.
You show up.
You went on your European vacation,
yes.
Right? Yeah, took the family over there.
Just the son.
Yeah, Big Ben. Look, kids, Big Ben. Yeah, look, kids, Big Ben.
You know how many people made that comment to me? That was so funny. But you stroll in here today in your Washington Capitals jersey. The last time we talked on this program, we're going to get NHL playoffs going in a bit here, Keniston Super Draft, all that. We weren't sure what the heck was going on for those final playoff spots. And if you would have told me, I wouldn't have bet on Washington. Be honest, would you have?
No. I actually liked Philadelphia to still hang on to that last spot. Then they became a tire fire. And
I like Detroit.
I thought Detroit was going to come through.
Or Pittsburgh, just for the
sentimental reasons.
Sentimental reasons.
But, you know, Washington had a bunch of injuries with their old guys and were playing a lot of young kids, a lot of call-ups. And those kids played well for them. And they brought some life back to the club and gave them a chance to move on. So pretty happy for the Caps.
Saskatchewan, you're asking what is coming up on the Sports Cage on this Thursday. Well, we will tell you. The Phoenix or / Arizona Coyotes are no more. If you haven't heard, they're moving to Salt Lake City. We're going to cover that over the next couple days here. Tomorrow, I'm going to be joined by Sam Farnsworth, who we talked to in February,
yep,
from the television station that will be covering probably the Coyotes in Salt Lake. But today, we're going to talk to a longtime season ticket holder and just what it means to a person like that has kind of been with the team for, I think it's 16 years as a season ticket holder, has seen the ups and the downs. Arash Madani is going to be coming up, and we're going to be talking gambling in professional sports, because if you haven't heard the Jonte Porter news out of the NBA and the Toronto Raptors, it is...
That's big.
And you know what? Not surprising. I think the world we're living in with sports gambling and it being so readily available and legal, we're going to be seeing a lot of this. He has been banned for life, allegedly, as it stands right now, from the NBA for betting on himself and the Raptors. So we're going to talk to Arash about that. Head coach of the Melfort Mustangs, Trevor Blevins. He's been in the league a long time as a coach and as a player. He just finished what he calls the craziest series he's ever seen in the SJHL as his Mustangs advance to take on the Flin Flon Bombers. Glenn Suter is going to join us around 5:30. CFL preseason games on the TV. I know that's buzzing on the internet right now everywhere. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes here, Sharky.
Love it.
He's also going to talk about ratings in the CFL. He wants to talk about some funding when it comes to flag football and where that's going to rank as it's an Olympic sport now. And he's also going to touch on gambling in the CFL, I think. Also, like I mentioned, NHL. We know who's playing who now.
Not yet. West is still undecided.
The West, yes.
Yep.
We have to figure out our Western teams that we want to take in the Keniston Super Draft. So we're going to do that throughout the program. And a whole lot more coming up.
We're on to like 9 o'clock tonight.
Is that in the program? Yeah, like you said, like we could legit be here for about 4 hours today. A lot to get to. Let's start with what people are talking about online right now as it came down today.
Go.
The CFL, sorry, TSN has said they're only going to televise two preseason games. And I really can't wait to talk to Suits about this. It used to be four, and then COVID and everything. Now it's gone to two. I don't think we should be that surprised when you think about the rising cost of everything and how much it would cost. I got Suits doing some work right now, trying to figure out how much it costs to put on a CFL production.
The production game, yeah.
Yeah, and I cost. Think he was a little bit low when he texted me back. I said, Suits, maybe do some research on this. I don't think people should be surprised on they're not covering nor CFL preseason.
So let's
games.
Do this as a, let's look at it a different way. Is there an option for somebody else to cover those games?
So that is my thing. In the NFL, I think what they do a lot of times, I know what they do as a New England Patriots fan, they let the local broadcaster.
Why not?
Take it. And I'm sure there's money. Don't get me wrong. There's money exchanged somewhere along this. But then they kind of handle that. The national guys don't send there. And they have the, you know, the local guys do the broadcast and all that. I think that would be fantastic if the CFL. And you know what? Some teams probably wouldn't care. They wouldn't do it. But, but here, it'd be perfect. It's like, all right, Dave Thomas and Luke. You guys we're televising this game, even if it's a stream. You don't probably need all the cameras because you can't. You can't put on the production.
No.
You're not going to bring in the dome truck.
You're not going to do the same thing.
Like
no.
TSN. But there's a way to do it and be like, all right, you know what? Harvard's more than capable nowadays, the way we're going, to cover this game. Can we cover it, televise it, stream it? Somehow.
I do think there's an angle there to promote the product. Again, the distance people travel to go to CFL games, specifically in Saskatchewan over any other place. You know, Vancouver, there's a lot of people right from the Lower Mainland. It's not such a big deal. But if you're driving from Meadow Lake, PA, Nipawin to come down for an exhibition game on a Thursday, big ask. Big ask of your fans. But why not give them the product, right? Why not show them what everybody else is going to see at that time?
I'm a little bit surprised that people are that shocked on the preseason game. And the other thing that they talk about are so many games are running concurrently and on those days. So you have four games on each Saturday, May 25th and Friday, May 31st. So, you know, somewhat difficult and logistical challenges with that.
But again, that gives the opportunity to a local guy or somebody else to highlight the product. And it's not costing the TSN group anything. They're not losing any money because the riders are going to show their game on a streaming service. That's not going to cost them any money. But I still think it's a great opportunity for those teams to promote their product.
It says that the doubleheader will be Friday, May 31st, beginning with the Montreal Alouettes versus the Red Blacks. So that's the early game.
That's Eastern time, yeah.
And then they're going to shift to the Edmonton Elks at BC Lions. So I think it's good news for the riders locally.
I do too.
Yeah. Get some butts in the seats. Get people back excited about. There's so much excitement around this team this year because of Corey Mace.
Corey Mace, Trevor Harris is coming back healthy. A lot of new bodies are coming in. Whole new coaching staff, whole new attitude. And some of the signings they've made, some of the young guys they're bringing out of the U.S., really excited about that. The draft isn't here yet. We don't even know what we're going to end up with out of the CFL draft. I think there's tremendous excitement about our riders. And I'm not lying to you. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to what this year holds.
Yeah, very curious to talk to Suits, and we'll get into that a little bit more as we progress. Now, again, we're going to talk to Arash about this, but the story on sports gambling in professional sports, and there's been a lot of it, you know, and I what I think is there is probably so much more going on that people that they don't know about, and hey, there's a lot of really, really, really good, you know, when it comes to digital sleuths and finding out what you're doing and where you're doing it, obviously. Banned for life. Does that send a message to everyone else?
Well, here's the reason I think it's going to stick. This fella's not a first liner. He's not Michael Jordan. He's not anybody of that caliber. He's not Kobe. He's not somebody else that they need to promote the game.
Jontay Porter's his name. Yeah, so far from those guys.
He's not even a household name in his own house. So so this Mr. Porter, whatever he was doing, trust me, he was actually affecting the line of the game. He knew what the line was.
Yeah.
He was affecting it and betting on either on or against himself.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
He bet on his he bet the under on his performance.
He could guarantee he's going to fail on that performance, right?
So that's where I'm getting at. Like, this has to be something that's way more prevalent than we think right now in every sport.
I would say it's prevalent that they're gambling, but they're not gambling like this guy was. They're not betting on himself. Other than, well, here's the one that hasn't come down, and it's going to eventually. Shohei, don't tell me somebody stole $16 million out of your bank account and you didn't notice.
Well, they said that's pretty much a cut. That's a case. Case is closed on that one. But I think Major League Baseball is being like, let's just get this done with somehow.
That's going to go sideways yet.
Where's that rug? Sweep this so far under that rug so quickly.
He'll be playing in the Russian Baseball League within a year. Trust me. Shohei, you do not lose $16 million to your interpreter making bets.
I think that one is going
that
to be.
That smells.
It would be a lot, you know, like if Steph Curry was caught gambling on the NBA, on his own team, maybe on himself, they would be a little more maybe lenient on this than a lifetime ban.
That's what I said. This reporter, not even a household name at home. So
it's a message. They're sending a message. I don't know what the appeal process is and how that would even go down. But, oh, man, you got it. And you have to think about it. You got to know. Like, you have to be watching your back now. Every time
every miss shot, every dump in, every right
or every bet, every time you pick up your phone and be like, yeah, they can pretty much follow everything I do on this thing nowadays.
Yeah.
And I'm doing this. Am I getting away with it? Nah. And then you get twitchy. And you know, it's like that. It's like that. You work and you've had jobs your whole life. There's always those places of employment where you're working. And there's those, I call them check stealers, right? There's those guys that know that, and they're all, and then they start looking behind their back because they're like, who's going to find out that I really don't do anything here?
Yeah.
It's like that Office Space
episode.
And you would have to think.
You always find them in a closet.
these guys, like, it would be the anxiety around it all. Yeah, I get the gambling and all that, but you know you're going to get busted at some point.
Well, and especially, I mean, the kind of money you can make playing pro sports, to give that up for, what did he make, $75,000?
Yeah, this guy especially. Like, you're, come on, a young guy, you made it to the NBA, and you're throwing it away.
You can last a long time as a 7-8-9 guy in the NBA riding pine.
And you're throwing it away to play some parlay. Again, parlays are bad. I'm a sucker for parlays. So Arash really wants to get into this.
I look forward to it.
He will. He'll love everything that, because he's a degen gambler like myself. WHL playoffs, my friend. Ryan Switzer is going to join us
from Swift.
Swifty Switzer, as he's been watching this series very closely between the Moose Jaw Warriors and the Swift Current Broncos. Moose Jaw takes a 3-1 lead.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Into the Jaw tomorrow to try and finish this series off. Now, I tried fighting through the jet lag last night to watch some of this game, and I wouldn't say it'd be less than half, but I did catch the last, and we'll talk to Switzer about this, I caught the last probably 8 minutes, and Moose Jaw scored. And they went up, then they scored again, and then there was an empty netter there. But Moose Jaw's big line, there was no answer.
It's hard to play against them. They're incredibly talented.
Nothing against Swift, because Swift is but that's the level that Moose Jaw's elevated themselves to.
Yep. And the Moose Jaw team, and even Saskatoon's got to go, please go 7 games. Just beat each other up for another 3.
Yeah.
Right? They don't want Moose Jaw coming in here pretty fresh to go to Saskatoon in a week and a half. They want some more war going on there.
Fargus and Jaeger, like that line.
Yeah.
And you know Swift Current's got home ice. So Swift's going to try and match up their best defenders or their best line to shut those guys down.
Couldn't do it.
And there's still no answer. That's the scary thing that my eyeball saw last night when I was watching it. Great to see the crowd, though, too, in Swift. Moose Jaw, man, I don't know how many buses they brought out of Moose Jaw into Swift last night, but there were a lot of Warrior fans in the iPlex.
Yeah, that highway going, that highway would have been busy. Very, very busy. I will say this, it's even more scary about Moose Jaw is their power play. When they could pick their best five and put them on the ice, you can't take a penalty against them because your only hope is that they miss a net.
Like a very similar to Las Vegas Golden Knights last year.
Yeah.
You know, any NHL team that's made the run, Edmonton's power play is absolutely
right now,
dangerous.
Yes.
You can't, you don't want to take any penalties against the Oil again. But yeah, you're totally right. And then up north, where tomorrow I'm going to have Steve Hildebrand on the Sports Cage to talk about the Blade. The Blades mop up Red Deer ran into some injury trouble in net. Taylor Tabashniuk from Regina Pat Canadians got called up, played the last two games. Heck of a job, but you're up against what Les Lazarus called, I think yesterday with Brendan McGuire, the best team he's ever covered.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And
they've had some wagons.
Yeah, and he called Gordie Howe. So, Les has been around a long time. So, but you know what? It is the best Blades team, I think, ever, without a doubt.
A lot to get to. It's the Sports Cage Saskatchewan. It's Shink and Sharky here, and it's all for extreme hockey and sport on the home of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 620 CKRM.
The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. 620 CKRM.
You heard the guy. You can always get in on the program, the Capital Ford Lincoln text line. We're going to need you here in a bit, Saskatchewan. We have some debating to do on our pools as we get into the NHL playoff season. A lot more to come. If you're just tuning in, CFL talk with Glenn Suter, gambling talk with the Rash Madani, Ryan Switzer from Swift Current joining us, and Trevor Blevins, head coach of the Melfort Mustangs. All right, my man. I said West, and I you know what? I understand. Everything's not set in stone until after tonight. So let's go with East. The East. So in the Keniston Super Draft, the deadline is 6 p.m. on Monday. So you can watch the Saturday games if you want. You can kind of you can get a little bit cozy and see who you want to go. But we got one Sports Cage entry here. 936-6262. If you think that we're off our rocker, we get one 32-player super draft. So we can write in, but they give you the boxes on who you want to go with. So let's go this, Sharky, and debate this. In the East, who is our consensus to make the Stanley Cup?
I think it's the Rangers.
Oh, we're going to be here all day. Oh, my. We are going to be here all day. Okay, I'm going to give you that because we can't go on forever here. In the respect of time. Okay, so you got, who's your, let's say you take, we'll take three guys from your Rangers then.
Okay.
Because you got to load up. I feel you, if you got to put your eggs in a couple of baskets here. Okay, so you got Adam Fox, Eric Gustafson, Chris Kreider, Lafreniere, Miller, Panarin, Roslovic?
Yep.
Trochak, and Zibanejad. I say Zibanejad's an auto.
Actually, he's slumping. I take Panarin.
Buddy, come meet me halfway.
Panarin.
Okay, so our first guy is Panarin.
Yeah. Then I take the defense with Fox.
On the ice a lot, touches the puck a lot. I like that. Okay.
And actually, I don't mind Lafreniere over Zibanejad.
Oh, I'm going to hold you to this.
Okay.
Okay, Lafreniere is our third New York Ranger that we took in the Keniston Super Draft.
You're putting this all on me. Okay, I like that.
Right. All on you.
Yeah.
The team that I think is going to make the Stanley Cup out of the East, and I think they do too because they have lots of them here, Carolina Hurricanes.
Okay.
Jake Guentzel, something to prove.
I don't think he's there. You're taking him? Okay.
No, I'm just giving you guys who I think. Brett Burns touches the puck a lot, plays a lot of power play time.
Yeah. Wants it.
Wants it.
Last
take
chance.
Burns. Yeah. The only thing about that is he's gonna be on the ice a lot. He's gonna get hit a lot. He's gonna be worn down. But I did take Pietrangelo last year.
He's a big body. He can play.
So Burns is our guy. First guy. Evgeny Kuznetsov, throw a flyer there. Just still not enough there. Maybe no. If, you know, we don't have enough guys.
Might be on the third line.
Svechnikov. Gotta take Svechnikov. Teravainen.
Or Aho. One of the two.
I'm taking them both.
Okay. Like it.
We're taking four from the Carolina Hurricanes. Okay. So we have seven guys of our 32 now out of our Eastern Conference. Now, what do
so
you...
So we're allowed 16 out of... We're going 16 East,
well,
16
no,
West?
Well, no, we don't. If we can make it easy that way. You're not here tomorrow, so I can change all this. You wacko. Derek Bedwell is going to be with me tomorrow, so we might... I'm just putting this in pencil. No, in all seriousness. Okay, so who's in... Who? What are the matchups in the East?
Toronto's going to play Boston. The Lightning are going to play Florida.
Yeah, that's the one that's tough to call. That's
the only series I can't pick.
You don't want to go there?
No, I think the Lightning can win that series. Really do.
Well, it's round one.
It
not,
is.
Not a banged up bodies yet. Kucherov is one of the best players in the world. Points good. I still think Florida wins. But so what? We don't want to touch that one. Do you want to touch Toronto, Boston?
Yep, but all Boston. The Leafs are done in five.
Okay, let's take... How many guys you want to take from Boston, then?
At least three or four. And not Marchand, just because I hate him.
We're not taking four from Boston.
I hate Marchand. Do not put him on the list.
I'm taking Marchand, just because I love him.
He's so gross.
Okay, you get to pick the other two, because I took Marchand. Remember, you can write guys in here.
Well,
we've got
Coyle,
DeBrusque, McAvoy, Pasternak, Van Riemsdyk, and Zacha. Pasternak?
Pasternak for sure.
Okay, Pasternak.
And McAvoy would be there.
Pasternak and McAvoy are in the mixer. Okay. So that's 10?
What are we at? 10?
Out of the East?
10, yeah. There's no sense touching Toronto or Washington.
We can go one more. We can go one more Ranger if you really want. If you think that's your Stanley Cup team, we've got to go four guys out of the Rangers.
Well, then you take Zibanejad.
Okay. We got four. So we got 11. Okay, we'll do the rest later.
All right.
That's enough right now. If we are totally off base here, text in 936-6262, because there are some people out there that listen to this program that have finished really high in the Keniston Super Draft. There's more than $80,000 up for grabs in this. It's $40 for one entry. Again, the deadline is Monday at 6 p.m. I'm going in with three guys. We bought the seven packs. Seven entries for $200. I got one that's... I'm heavy Nashville. That could be the Cinderella.
If Nashville plays Vancouver, they win that series.
I think they win that series.
Yep.
Nashville or Vancouver in these parts getting no respect.
None.
You listen to any Vancouver West Coast radio, you see anything, they're renting the barricades for the parade.
There's no need to.
There's definitely no need to.
Because in six games, they're out.
They're renting for the riots.
They had great... Don't get me wrong. They had a great season. Talk about surprising teams
coming out
of nowhere. But you ain't winning the Stanley Cup, Vancouver.
Just... and I've said this to everybody. You got to learn to lose first. Nobody walks through as a Cinderella team that hasn't been there before.
It's like life.
Yeah. You don't exceed at life till you get knocked down, right? And Vancouver's not going to get through. They're just not. It can't happen.
What do you think about that Edmonton-Vancouver
shaker? Edmonton-Vegas?
Edmonton-Vegas. Edmonton-Vancouver. Edmonton-Vegas.
You know, I was actually in Edmonton and watched them play Vegas without McDavid a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Vegas looked slow. They looked old. And Vegas is a very mature hockey team in terms of the age of their players.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a whole bunch of guys that are under 25 or 26.
I don't think they have the jam, the youth, to run it back. It's hard.
It's really hard. Nobody's won back-to-back other than Tampa for a long time.
You had guys with, their limbs are hanging on by a thread. Yeah. Things are torn so badly. they don't really want to go through that again. It's getting to be high 30s, 40 degrees in Vegas. Pools look nice.
I've got a ring.
I got the ring.
Do I need another one?
I need another one, but do I want to go through that?
Yeah. It's a grind. It's truly a grind. It's probably the hardest thing to win in sports when you think about the grind to get through it and the physical abuse you take. So
the only thing that would rival it would be the High Voltage Classic in Saskatoon. It was a 36-hour street hockey tournament around the clock. To win that thing, you had to grind.
I don't think I want to compare the High Voltage Classic to the Stanley Cup.
I'm telling you,
but
man.
They're similar. They're similar.
We lost it one year in the semifinal, then we won it the next year.
You got to learn to lose.
You got to learn to lose. It was very, very difficult. All right, we'll get back on the Keniston Super Draft thing in a moment. Tomorrow on the program, but we got to get this. Before I forget, I got to mention this today, too, if people want to make plans for the weekend. Saskatoon, Saturday night. The Saskatchewan Rush play the Toronto Rock.
Yep.
Must win to get into the playoffs.
Need everybody there.
$25 ticket.
Really?
$25 to get in. And if you've never been to a lacrosse game, I think a lot of people listening to this program have been to a lacrosse game. But if you have not, this is one to go. Everything is going to matter. It's like watching playoff baseball. Regular baseball. Exciting.
Two teams below 500.
A few suds, sunflower seeds, except we don't want the goat outbreak. That's all good. But when it matters, when every foul ball matters, when every pitch matters, that's exciting to watch. And this is going to be like that Saturday night in Saskatoon. Cody Jansen's going to come on and talk about it.
And if anything, we get to beat a Toronto team. So that makes it worthwhile right there.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Whenever you can beat Toronto at anything, that's a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go. Let's get up there and knock Toronto out.
$25. You know who's really happy that the Saskatoon Blades swept?
The Rush.
The people that, the facility staff at SaskTel Center in Saskatoon. Because they've had to change the field, you know.
Overnight.
Hockey. It's been a busy facility. They have some concerts rolling in through there. Yeah, it's a place. So they're happy now. It's like, okay, we got a Rush game. We got some time to breathe. The Blades can probably go practice over at the Agri-Twin Arenas. But that's, Saturday night in Saskatoon, $25. We'll have more on that tomorrow with the voice of the Saskatchewan Rush, Cody Jansen. Did you have a chance to watch any of that or any of the highlights of that Game 7 between Humboldt and Melfort?
Nope. I missed it. Sorry.
And we'll talk to Trevor Blevins coming up a little bit later. But Melfort scored late, like under the last 2 minutes to tie it up. And then in overtime.
And overtime to win it.
The clip is so good. The Northern Lights Palace erupts. Playoff hockey, Game 7. Give me a break.
Especially in the SJHL, it's so passionate. It's your community. It's your town, right? There's more passion involved than any other place. It's like senior hockey, essentially, but for kids, right?
Yeah, so exciting. So happy for all the kids on that team. I've gutted, obviously, for everyone in Humboldt. But I got to tell you this. You're gonna laugh at me. You're going to want to slap me. We are in Stockholm. Last-minute thing as a team. Soccer match, football match, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
To the local team and another team, first game in the Swedish professional game. My nights are all mixed up. And I'm like, absolutely. Whole team goes. Exciting. The video, this play, and they chant and they got the flares going. And there's about 40 some thousand just going berserk. And this, I had to wager on it. To make it exciting.
Of course you did.
So yeah. I went heavy on the home team. I picked a guy to score the first goal. He didn't score. Home team, the other team was 450. And I'm like, okay, well, there's no way. Other team, 3-0. They're up. 5 minutes left in a soccer game. Well, we're out of here.
Yeah, it's over.
Let's go to the bus, grab some of them Swedish tall boys, and wait for Bussy to get back. All of a sudden, everyone comes out. They tied it.
They scored 3 in the last 5 minutes?
Since when have you ever seen 3? Unless it's my daughter's 6, 7-year-old game. 3 soccer goals in 5 minutes. They tied.
At a pro level?
If the fix was in, Porter knew somebody in Sweden.
There's a Porter in Sweden?
The group that I left with, including my son, was like, why did we leave?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you leave a hockey game almost with
3-0.
3-0 with 5 minutes left, let alone soccer where they don't really do anything.
They don't score many goals.
If you get into trouble, you just kick the ball into the 35th row. They came back and tied it. Isn't that something else?
Overtime? No, just regular season.
I think there was
settled at a draw.
Settled at a draw. But I felt an absolute pigeon. I was like, oh wow. But it was the experience, and I get it now. Why people go over, and I guess next level would be the like Premier League,
yes,
Premier League, and the all that stuff, and going into Spain, and that's next level, man. Like these, they chant all game,
really,
all game. Back and forth. One side goes and the other side goes. I could send the hooligans.
There's lots of hooligans?
No, but I could see if it was two major teams, why they keep them on separate sides of the building and put up big barricades and all that. They rent them from the people in Vancouver. It is the Sports Cage. We are cooking along here. We got so much more to get to. When we get back, we're going to talk about the Arizona Coyotes with a long-time season ticket holder. It's the Sports Cage. On the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Back to the all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage. Barney Shankaruk and Sharky here on this Thursday for Extreme Hockey and Sport in Regina. New owners, same great service, 35 years and rolling. Big Yeti country. Extreme, you ever been in there?
Yes.
If you're a Yeti guy or girl, they have everything under the sun when it comes to Yetis for this spring summer season.
I lose too many of them.
Really?
They're like golf balls to me. I got to logo them so that somebody finds them and uses them again.
That's me in sunglasses. As soon as I buy an expensive pair of sunglasses, bottom of a lake.
Might as well turn $200 into dust.
Sit on them.
Yeah.
Leave them at a golf course where the people don't return anything.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
It's kind of how it goes.
I got Yetis all over the country. Yeah.
Western Pizza Hotline. Let's head on there. It's always a great night for Western Pizza. All that goodness. I can't tell you after being away for 13 days how much I am craving some Western Pizza right now. If you didn't hear, Arizona Coyotes, Phoenix Coyotes moving to Salt Lake City, Utah. I thought it'd be interesting today for the next 5-7 minutes to go out on the Western Pizza Hotline and talk to a longtime season ticket holder of the Arizona Coyotes. Joining us, Kerry Snyder. Kerry, in Phoenix, Arizona, what's the mood like for you today, my man?
Well, it's a little different. Thanks for having me on, by the way. I appreciate it. It is different here, especially being around last night and watching people still in the stadium till almost 11 o'clock last night. I guess it's a day you never really think is going to come. Everybody talks about it, but there's always solutions, and apparently we ran out of solutions. Off to Salt Lake.
Yeah, so the one thing I think in, unless you've lived in Phoenix, you've spent a lot of time in the Phoenix area, people don't get it, and they say, it's not a hockey market. It's like over 5 million people in the valley. Like that's the population of Alberta. It's more than Alberta, the population of the Phoenix area. What do you say when people say that, they're just not hockey fans?
Typically, I disagree with them as quickly as I can, and all of the Phoenix, I wouldn't say all of it, but the majority is transplants, and the transplants are coming from hockey hotbeds from all over North America. So to say that there isn't a place for it, there's a huge place for it. I don't know that people that were born and raised here in the 60s and 70s can appreciate it the way that people born into it right now are, but hockey is, it's a lot bigger than anybody would think. And when you are here and you see it and you see the youth hockey growing and growing and seeing that Arizona teams are now going to tournaments, you know, nationwide and actually competing now, there's a reason for that. It's because I think coaching has picked up because of the transplants. And, I mean, hockey's as alive here as it is, not, I would say, anywhere, but definitely more than what people lead off, I would say.
Kerry, we know that one of the hiccups over the years has been the facility or the arena that they play in, and there's been many efforts to put a new rink into place. In your mind, is that ever really going to happen, that there's going to be a rink that's going to work for them and for the communities that it's involved with?
Well, I think the new one that they have proposed, if they do get the land, in my opinion, is probably finally going on the right side of the valley. Once the team, I feel like when they left downtown, they left a lot of fans there with them, and it was going to a part of Phoenix that, if you had to pick a corner that doesn't embrace hockey as much, it probably went there. And I don't think it was a completely terrible move, but as you see from 2004 to when Glendale didn't renew the lease, there's obviously issues there. And if it were maybe built in North Phoenix or in somewhere in Scottsdale, are we having this conversation today? I don't think so.
Longtime Coyote season ticket holder Kerry Snyder joining us. Kerry, when the Tempe land deal, when that didn't work and what they had planned there, when that was kiboshed, did it become a little more real for you?
I think it did, because that was, it seemed like such a great place to have it. If anybody's traveled to the area, I mean, you're close to the airport, you're close to ASU campus. I mean, you have 60,000 students at ASU. I mean, you have people that are going to fill this area, fill the whole entertainment district that was planned to be built around it. And when that went away, it was like, where else could they put it that would offer all of that? And Mesa clearly wasn't the answer where they were going to put it there. That never came to fruition for even voting reasons. But where they plan to put this new one has potential, I believe, to rival what everybody thought was going to happen in Tempe.
So, Kerry, a question to you now. I mean, it's sad that they're gone, and it's unfortunate. But again, it was a combination of many things that made them move on. You're still a hockey fan. Are you going to now be a Salt Lake City Coyote or whatever they are hockey fan, or are you going to move on to another franchise?
After talking to other season ticket holders and people I've known throughout the years, I think what it kind of turns into is you become fans of players now, more or less than a team. I can't see myself flying to Salt Lake City to root them on. I can't see that right now anyways. But you meet these people, these players in person, and you golf with them, and you see them outside of hockey, and you really become a fan of the person, and that's going to be hard to watch them play in another city, that's for sure.
Now, is the American League team still in Tucson? They play out of Tucson, right? Is that still going to stay in place?
Well, the rumor is that the owner is going to move the Tucson Roadrunners to Mullett Arena to show his commitment to the Phoenix Valley area, that he still wants hockey here. I don't know. I'd have to fact check all that, but that's what I did hear last night from a few people.
I got Sam Farnsworth on tomorrow from Salt Lake. That's a question I got to ask him, because that is the rumor that Ryan Smith's going to put Tucson, which they play out of the convention center in Tucson. Just knowing the area, that is an absolute gong show of a rink. So we'll get onto that tomorrow. So last question for you, Kerry. Favorite memory that you have as a Coyote fan and being at all the games or most of the games?
You know, I probably go to 30 plus games a year for the last 12 years. And I would say that 2012, when Arizona made it to the Western Conference Final, and seeing a home game white out every single game, you almost felt like they were building something and it was going to continue, only to it switch owners again and start back from square one. So that would probably be that whole playoff season would be my favorite memory. And obviously Shane Doan's retirement and, you know, a legendary captain and class act individual being there for all of that, those are probably you know, up there with the two best memories for sure.
All right, my man. Yeah, unfortunate news, and we'll see where this goes. But again, thanks for taking some time today and answering these questions, I guess, on a tough day for Phoenix sport fans, especially Phoenix Coyote fans. Thanks a lot, Kerry.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Kerry Snyder, a longtime season ticket holder in Phoenix. Just kind of give a little perspective on that, eh?
You know, there were so many things that went wrong with this franchise from day one, but I think of when they were paying guys not to play in the NHL, when they're paying Pavel Datsyuk to play in Russia, when they took that contract, when they took Chris Pronger's contract and paid him when he wasn't going to play anymore. To me, that's an organization that's not going the right direction, right? That's not working hard to make things better for their club.
Let's go back to this a little bit later in the show, because I was there the first year. I lived there in 96, 97.
Okay.
When they got there.
Yeah.
We got some cool stories. But we have time for a break. We're getting close to the top of the hour. It is the Sportscade with Shink and Sharky on the home of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 620 CKRM.
Don't miss a minute of the all-new Sports Cage. Podcasts are posted at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage, Saskatchewan. Barney Shinkaruk and Sharky here on this Thursday for Extreme Hockey and Sport in Regina. We just heard from Kerry Snyder, longtime Phoenix Coyote season ticket holder. I think there's some news reports now coming down officially that they are moving to Utah. Everyone kind of knew that. You watched the game last night.
The Board of Governors voted on it today, so it is happening. Yeah.
$1.2
billion
is what that Morello sold it. I would like to know what he paid. I was trying to look at what he paid for it.
He's selling it to the NHL for $1 billion, and
he gets the NHL
and he gets the rights, and he gets to buy an expansion franchise for $1 billion. Mm-hmm. So that's guaranteed. And then they're selling it to Salt Lake for 1.2 and splitting up the $2 million amongst the rest of the owners.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. Hey. Good job. Good job. So
I don't just sit around and eat bonbons all day. You know,
$1 billion. And then you let that sit for a bit, little interest action on that, and then it's like, we're not going to get that expansion team. All right,
I'm sure he's got some debts to cover based on the way that team was run.
We'll move on with my bill in my pocket. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about, and then we'll kind of let the Coyote thing go until tomorrow. But it is big news. There's a lot of people from here that go to Coyote games and spend time in the desert and in the valley and all that. 96, 97. I was down there, and Winnipeg was moving there. And I'm like, I'm 18 years old. I'm like, whatever.
Pretty exciting, right?
Yeah.
NHL hockey.
So they played at America West Arena, right downtown. Great basketball facility.
Yep.
Great concert facility. Right downtown.
Terrible hockey rink.
Well, yeah, so my billet had season tickets to the Coyotes, split them with another guy. So we got to drive to games. It was unreal. We had so much fun. I remember first time going into that rink, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And you saw the one end, and it's like, wait a minute. The end is hanging over the goalie.
Yes.
So it was limited view seating. And you had to watch the screen, which wasn't great back in 96, 97, but you got an idea. And they sold those for like $6, $7.
Yep.
And people got to go. But the rink was fairly full, like really good atmosphere every day because it was central located. So if you ever been to Phoenix, it is a city of driving.
Yeah.
I think it's something like 80 miles wide by 80 miles. So it's like from Regina to Davidson, wide and long.
Yeah.
But the freeway system is amazing. So then when you put it way out in Glendale, a lot of the transplants and the snowbirds and all that live in that East Valley.
Yep.
And that is all. If you're driving from Apache Junction or from, you know, East Mesa to Glendale, and especially over, you got to take into consideration rush hour, that's like an hour and a half jaunt for some of these people to go watch a hockey game.
In a lot of ways, it'd be like us going to Saskatoon. It would be like us going to Saskatoon to watch an NHL game on a regular basis.
And although the infrastructure is amazing and there's no potholes and the weather's usually really, really good, it would just become sickening.
It's just time.
So then when we had our place there and it was about an hour, 50-minute drive to go watch, I would take the kids as much as I could. But even that got to the drive there was always okay, except for some traffic. It was that after the game, if the game was tight, you didn't want to leave. It was a close game. Yep. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I got to drive an hour back home, and it would just become monotonous, and it'd become, you know, too much. So it's unfortunate, because I think if they would have got that Tempe deal done, that
was a great spot.
That area was going to be
that was a fantastic
so
spot.
Good. Yeah. We are getting some texts in. We had one that said, from nameless, I'll go nameless on this one.
Okay.
The Phoenix Coyotes were run as well as Sharky ran the Q Park Canucks. They'd be thriving.
Well, thank you, boys, but I didn't actually run the team. I just coached it.
Yeah. We had another person that said, I do go to quite a few Coyote games. It was a sad day for me and my family. Hope they can make it work. Well, yeah, you know, maybe down the road. It's a big, like, I think it was 5.6 million, that valley, the valley in population.
It's a big population.
Yeah.
Again, the team wasn't run well. Right. The team was not run well. They didn't have a facility that worked. They should have stayed in that downtown arena if they could, but they couldn't make it work.
The Suns hated them.
Yeah, the Suns hated them.
They got into whatever owner that was. They got into
fight. He kicked them out.
See you later.
So it's a bit like taking the Saskatoon Blades and putting them in Rostern, right? Like, that's how far away in relative terms it was for those people. So it was really awkward to be there.
Valley.
And then the Mullet Arena thing just was not cool.
Rostern does have the Valley Regional Park and the cable. You ever gone down the cable there as a kid? Oh, it's so much fun. That's our Phoenix Coyote talk for today. It's time for another break as we get to the top of the hour. It's the Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.
If it's happening in sports in Saskatchewan, we've got it covered. The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll-free 1-866-767-0620. On your radio at 620 CKRM and online at sportscage.com.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage, Saskatchewan. Barney Shinkaruk, Sharky. Hour 2. On this Thursday for extreme hockey and sport. Don't sleep on them when it comes to baseball and fastball season. Extreme hockey has you covered. 35 years, same great service under new ownership. Sharky, my man.
Yes.
You were going through our Keniston Super Draft there. Yes. I see you've doctored some things up.
Yeah, I've doodled. I've made some notes.
Did you take anyone off the board?
No, I didn't take anyone off the board. I just highlight some teams we're not going to pick from.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's obvious.
Yeah, including the Vancouver Canucks.
Did you cross off the Winnipeg Jets?
No.
That's a tricky one.
It is, but they went into Colorado and beat them 7-0.
Yeah, but it's...
I don't care. You know you're going to play them in the first round. You got to play. You got to. What do you think? They took the night off to give the Jets.
Old fashioned sandbagger.
Oh, I don't buy that.
Old fashioned slow play.
Not 7-0. I don't buy that.
Bednar, just a good prairie boy playing smart.
No.
Let him think, boys.
No.
And get us.
He walked in that room and went, what a gong show I've got on my hands.
I'll tell you, that's a tough series to pick. But we'll get back to our Keniston Super Draft in a bit here. We still got to fill out our Eastern Conference teams. Deadline for the Keniston Super Draft is Monday at 6 p.m. You got to get in on it. $80,000. Whoa, the best playoff hockey draft in the world. It is now time to talk to our friend Arash Madani.
The all-new Sports Cage and Coast to Coast with Arash Madani is brought to you by Smart Investing Solutions. Be smart with your money. Call Brian Golly at Smart Investing Solutions, 546-2533.
Arash, on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised were you that a professional basketball player got busted for gambling on himself and on his own team?
The answer is probably 2.
I thought 1.
I would just make an edit to the question. Not professional basketball player, professional athlete. Hmm. Like, how many more are there going to be? Like, I saw today a handful of NFL guys are now reinstated after a year suspension. That was just for gambling. But here's the thing, guys. When you're Jonte Porter, basically nobody, you can't have an $80,000 prop bet put down on you.
Is that a flag? You know,
that's a red flag,
like,
isn't it? Yeah.
What? Like, when you think about some of the dumbest things that you could possibly do, it's like, it's bad enough that you're gambling on your team, yourself, whatever. But, like, insignificant is being, like, complimentary to Mr. Porter. He's a nobody. And an $80,000 wager, when if, like, they were going to put limits on that bet, it probably would be, like, $8 instead of 80 grand.
Yeah. We call them, as kids, we'd call, you know, guys, 5-cent commons. Because when you were doing hockey cards,
yeah,
or cards back in the day, you'd have these guys, and you'd be like,
sure,
yeah, he's a 5-cent common. He's a 5-cent common, right?
Right, let's find the most obscure. Let's go back in time real quick.
Yeah.
The most obscure 5-cent common name.
Ray,
come up with
Rayo Ruotsalainen.
Very good.
That's pretty impressive.
I still remember from grade 3 Jim Alain Côté of the Quebec Nordiques, because he was the last sticker I needed for my Panini sticker book.
Oh. Weren't those the best?
Yes.
The stick. I got one at mom's house, and for some reason I markered it all up, but it, Daniel Bouchard was a goalie for the Nordiques. We're gonna get sidetracked here. Yeah. We could talk about sticker books another time. I'll send you a picture of that this weekend when I had
Met Jim Kite, by the way. Awesome dude.
Yes.
He's a sports management professor in Ottawa now.
Nice. Really? Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so just to give people context on this, he put $80,000 down. And it was for him to underperform in a game, wasn't it?
And then, it's one thing to, to perform. And then, like, 3 minutes into the game, he took himself out with an illness.
Guaranteeing.
Absolute.
You know what else we call
the
that?
Dog ate my homework isn't even in this. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, how obvious could you make it?
You couldn't be a bigger heat bag, as some people would say, than that. That is. And then what was the parlay bet? Did that ever come out?
They went through it. I mean, one of the biggest indictments too. I think what got him the lifetime ban was not just betting on the NBA, betting Raptor games. He actually bet against the Raptors at one point. Like, really, bro? Like, I get it. We all knew the answers to the test of this year's Raptors season. They were dismal. They were never going to be any good. It's just a disaster what's happened there. Okay. But you still can't bet against your own team, man. What are you doing?
What?
I got a question. So he's got a lifetime ban, and I don't think it'll affect the NBA at all. That he's
like,
not.
He got a lifetime ban for being the stupidest.
Yes. Yeah. And not just for being a bad basketball player, just being flat out dumb. But if this was, as an example, Kobe or Jordan or somebody like that,
Steph Curry,
do you think they would have done a lifetime ban?
Well, and that's the question. What if this was LeBron? What if this was Steph? Now, here's the thing about that. This is what's really important to understand about high-level athletes in pro sports. You have to imagine that somebody like Steph or LeBron, who's making $40-45 million salary and has a, you know, $200 million shoe deal and have a bunch of other endorsements, they're good with cash. They don't need to go drop 25, 35, 45, 50,000 on a sports bet. But let's remember, Michael Jordan liked to bet. And I'm not saying he bet on sports or anything like that.
Oh.
But there's a story that goes that not only does MJ like casinos, everybody knows that, and MJ liked to, you know, bet on golf, but one day he's out on a golf course, they're on the first tee, and he looks at the guy he's playing with, and he says, "What do you say, 10 grand a hole?" And the guy looks at him and says, "Michael, I'm Tiger Woods. You're not beating me." But that was Michael Jordan. He just had to bet.
So I want to take this to a different spot then. If we're talking about guys that maybe aren't going to be suspended versus are suspended, and Barney and I talked about this earlier, where's Shohei in this? Because don't tell me he's innocent. Because I'm not buying it.
I don't know about that. I actually do.
I do too.
Because, like, here's what you have to understand about the Ohtani thing. This is not a Major League Baseball investigation. This is the Department of Justice that has gone and done a thorough, like, his translator could go to jail for double-digit years for bank fraud, bank wire fraud, theft, etc. The translator lost $40 million, and they went through every text communication between the translator and Shohei, and they say nothing came up. Now, what's in it for the Department of Justice to keep Shohei Ohtani around to take at-bats on a Thursday in April, you know, in Baltimore?
Nothing.
Not much.
No.
So I actually think that this guy, like, part of what they were saying is that this translator allegedly called the bank, knew all of Shohei's passwords, knew all of Shohei's information, and basically conned the person on the other end of the phone at the bank to give him access to all the stuff, which allowed the bank wires to go to the illegal bookie, allegedly.
Man, you got, sometimes it's just happenstance that you hit the dumbest person in the building. Like, come on, the bank on that. Okay, here's a question. Over under 2 years that we see someone in the Canadian Football League get busted for gambling?
Yeah, it's a good question. Here's the thing about CFL props, and like, I've asked some people over the last couple of days exactly about this. The thing about CFL props is they usually max them out at like $100 tops.
Yeah.
So, insert name of player here, rushing yards over under, I don't know, guys, 73.5. You won't be able to probably put more than, you know, 80, 90 bucks on that at most. Because it's not a league that's, you know, that generates a lot of handle. There's not a lot of money that's being wagered total on the CFL, so you don't have the sharps on it. You know, the NFL obviously is a $1 billion gambling industry. The CFL just isn't to that extent when it comes to the number of dollars wagered on it. So you just won't have the opportunity. But, you know, there's always a caveat, but you better be careful. And here's the thing on that. I actually think legalized gambling helps because these books can then alert authorities if there's kind of any impropriety that they suspect. If suddenly a wager comes in $80,000 on under 73.5 rushing yards, a red flag is going off, believe me.
That's a great point, because if it was all off the books under the table, you'd never know if any of this shenanigans was going on.
Yeah. Right. Just bank wires that, you know, if it's over 10 grand, you're not getting taxed on it, blah, blah, blah.
What is going on with the CFL Players Union? I read this story today, then you and I kind of texted on this. I think this is quite fascinating, and there's going to be some spillover on this going forward.
Well, this is what's interesting. The CFLPA, and I get this is boring stuff, but just bear with me, because I think this is going to be really important for all Canadian pro sports teams. The CFLPA has has an alliance with the Canadian Labor Congress. The Canadian Labor Congress has 3.2 million members. There are 49-50 unions, something like that. So they come to the table with governments, with legislation, with, you know, now they want to make change. They have the support of, you know, the CLC behind them. So if you're now the NHLPA and you have, you know, the NHL teams in Canada, if you're the NBA Players Association, and it's not just the big stuff, it's not just when we're talking about injury protections, whatever, you know, you often hear about players who can't cross the border because of immigration or visa issues, work permit problems. The teams sometimes aren't able to do it. So I'll tell you what, a labor council that has 3 million people has the ear of government, and they can make some things happen. So it's day-to-day stuff, and it's also the bigger stuff. And already I reached out to the NHLPA, and they're aware of what's happening, and they want to have conversations with the CFLPA to find out how this is all going to go.
I mean, I agree that there's some element of the larger volume being able to get you more support. Is that really what they're after, or is there a bigger picture that we're not seeing here?
I'm assuming more than anything else, it's about paying out players who suffer a catastrophic injury and for how many years that will be. You know, if you are working in any construction and you fall off the roof or you fall off the siding, workers' comp kicks in. Pro football, both sides of the border, every play is a car wreck. It is a violent collision sport. There's no workers' comp there. I wonder how much of this partnership is a way of trying to find a way to get workers' comp for some pro athletes.
Ah, yeah, that's okay. All right. And you know what? Fair, right? Power in numbers.
You got to pay into it, though.
Power in numbers.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
sure. No, but like, this goes back a bunch of years ago. Jonathan Heffney, formerly of the Bombers, was playing with the Alouettes, gets hurt, horrible injury in Ottawa, couldn't lift his arm. After a year, his medical benefits ran out from the team. That was in the collectively bargained agreement at the time. Now that's been increased to 5 years, which is great. He'd get his medical taken care of. But you can't lift your arm. It's hard to work.
It's hard to do lots of things, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a lot of this, I believe, stems from how that whole thing went down.
Coast to coast with Arash Madani for Brian Gawley Smart Investing Solutions. All right. What do you got on the weekend here? What are you doing? Putting your feet up? Are you covering anything? Where are you going?
I have the feet up. I'm going to be watching some playoffs.
Oh, nice.
By the way, like, I live in Toronto. Of course the Leafs are playing the Bruins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Patrice Bergeron isn't walking through that door. David Krejci isn't walking through that door. But, like, there's an uneasiness in this city, let me tell you guys.
Quick question. Okay, go ahead.
I don't think you're there after five games.
Nah. Five.
Yeah.
You say Bruins in five or Leafs in five?
Bruins.
Yeah, he's big on the Bruins. Okay, here. Before we let you go, we got about 20 seconds here. Who plays in... We're doing our Keniston Super Draft. We're doing the Eastern side today. Who does Arash Madani think plays in the Eastern Conference Final? What two teams?
I'm going to go off the board a little bit. I just have to believe in Tampa one last time. Trying to make a, you know, Disney movie happen here. And... in Boston, if the way the bracket works, and I haven't really looked at it.
Man, Arash, you really screwed us there.
No, I kind of agree with him. I know I like the Rangers, but I think Tampa takes Florida.
Okay, let's see.
I also, by the way, on the West, I like the Predators to beat the Canucks, round one.
Everyone does.
And the Stars to win the Cup.
Yeah, I see. Now you're talking my language, my man. All right.
There
we go. NHL playoffs this weekend. Have some wine, enjoy it, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, boys.
All right,
take care.
Coast to coast, Arash Madani for Brian Gawley. Oh, man, he threw Tampa Bay in there.
That's the hardest one for me to pick, Florida.
That series is like the Colorado-Winnipeg. I got to stay away from it. I wanted to be a Winnipeg guy, but yeah, we'll get back into that with the Keniston Super Draft more in a bit. Time for a break. It is the Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage, Saskatchewan. Barney Shinkaruk and Sharky here on this Thursday for Extreme Hockey and Sport. Hey, did you catch this?
Go ahead.
Regina Rebels.
Yep.
U18 AAA female ladies off to the Esso Cup. It all starts this weekend in beautiful Vernon, British Columbia.
So obviously sponsored by Caltire.
Esso Cup, yeah, that's the home of Caltire. Nice for the ladies to get back there again. We had Stryker Zablocki on, I think about a month ago. She's the phenom, 16-year-old, unbelievable all-star. But we're going to have to keep our tabs on this. I'm trying to pull it up here to see who their first game, and the website is actually pretty difficult to read.
I got the teams, but this website is a challenge to get through.
We'll keep following it. I guess all the games are streamed on Hockey Canada, and then the final is on TSN. So congratulations to the Regina Rebels coming out of the West. There's a Quebec team, Ontario, Atlantic, and the Pacific champs. So
no host? There's got to be a host.
Well, that would probably be...
The host is the Thompson Okanagan Lakers.
Oh, the Lakers.
The Lakers.
Thompson, okay, yeah, so once you click in. So yeah, we'll keep you updated on what's going on with the Rebels as they get in to Nationals. Go Rebels. Bring that thing to Regina. Now time for our clutch performer.
The all-new Sports Cage is brought to you by Nick's Service in Emerald Park, your local Massey Ferguson, Challenger, Rogator, Gleaner, and Fendt dealer. Call 781-1077.
Saskatoon. 2:10 gone in this second period. Puck comes off the end board. Cedarov will beat off the icy shot. Scores. Second straight hat trick for Igor Cedarov. He does it again. Blades up 5-0. You chat.
Igor Cedarov. 3 goals, 2 assists, plus 5 last night in the Blades 7-0 win and sweep over Red Deer. That hat trick goal. I know people got to hear it.
Yeah.
Let's paint the picture. It was a dump in.
Go look for it.
Yeah.
Go find it online.
It's a dump in, and young Taylor Tabashniuk of the Regina Pat Canadians is thrust into duty for the Red Deer Rebels. Had to play young, you know, second ever WHL game. Puck's dumped in right beside him. Number 19 for the Blades, Cedarov, who's an unbelievable hockey player, picks it off the backboards through his legs. And I don't know if it went shelf. It goes somewhere in.
It goes in the net is the bottom line.
I think it went 5-hole.
Yeah. 5. I don't think a lot of goalies that have played in the league for 3 or 4 years are expecting that.
Yeah.
But this guy is so skilled. I've watched him play a couple regular season games in the last 2 years and been like, wow. You know, Russian. I think he's Russian. Great skill. He does things in the game that you try and practice. And then now he's doing them. And I saw it in the first round against PA. He did some between the leg things and all that. And I'm like, this guy is doing it in the Western Hockey League playoffs in small areas. He's a special player. I don't know if that translates to the NHL down the road. But Blades and Moose Jaw... Or Blades and Swift, if Swift can come back. We're not counting you out.
No, we're not Swift out yet.
We're not counting you out. We're going to be talking. We're going out into the... We want to talk to Switzer from Swift in a bit here. But you got to watch this guy play live.
He's a very, very talented young man. And you say that won't translate to the NHL. But if you can do it at the speed, at the top speed in the Western Hockey League, and like you say, in a phone booth that he's pulling these things off, if he's already got that skill here, he's just got to continue to work on the speed to get it up to the next level. He's going to be an exciting player in the National Hockey League.
He's an Anaheim guy, right? So you got Zegras there, and you got some skilled young guys.
I'm not sold on Zegras. I'm not. I mean, he's skilled, but I don't think the heart's in it.
He'd never be able to play for your Q Park Canucks.
No, the Canucks would let him go. Canucks would let him go.
Listen, Trev.
He'd end up in Strasbourg.
Yeah. We're letting you go sign with any other team in the Highway Hockey League.
Yeah.
No, but he was our clutch performer for Nick's Service in Emerald Park, your local Massey Ferguson Challenger, Rogator, Gleaner, and Fenton dealer. Call 781-1077. He's a special player. And like I said, WHL talk, like the Blades 4-game sweep, that is so key to rest now and wait. And like you said, let Swift and Moose Jaw just beat each other up.
Yeah, just go to war for 4 more games and have fun with each other and hack away and slash away, and then look forward to a very rested Saskatoon.
But it looks like we talked about, if you missed it off the start of the show, I got a chance to watch a little bit of it last night. We'll talk to Switz here in a bit. Moose Jaw, like people said, they're built for the postseason. So
you got to give Riplinger some kudos down the highway in number one. He's put together a very good team. He's realized this could be their year. He made some big moves and sold some assets for the future. But Moose Jaw's right there. They're going. They got as good a chance as Saskatoon does of going to the league final if they get through Swift Current.
So Switzer are still to come up in the program. We got SJHL talk as Trevor Blevins, Melfort Mustangs, up They're moving up, and they're going up to Flin Flon, Manitoba, starting tomorrow night against the Bombers, the SJHL championship. Blevins played in the league for Mustangs. He's coached a number of years for the Mustangs. When we talked to him in this interview, he calls it the craziest SJHL series he's ever seen with his eyeballs. And it was a back-and-forth dandy. So that's still to come. And then, of course, second half or the last hour of the show, we got press coverage with our friend Glenn Suter. I can't wait to get his take on the union thing, right?
And on the preseason games.
And the preseason games. And we talked about this off the start of the show, and a lot of people are losing their marbles that TSN came out with just two preseason games. That's all they're covering. Now, let's remember, you go to the grocery store nowadays and you buy your bag of groceries that used to be $30, $40. Now it seems like $80.
You betcha.
$90. Everything has gone up. So to put on a CFL quality production like TSN does, that is major money, and it's just not feasible. And I'm sure Glenn is going to talk about that. I did ask him, I'm like, what would it cost roughly? And he kind of threw out a ballpark. So I think he's working on that. But yeah, two games, and not one of them is a Rider game.
If you haven't
tuned in, it was Ottawa, Montreal, BC, Edmonton, and it's one night. It's kind of a back-to-back thing. Not a bad thing for the Riders.
No, not a bad thing at all. And again, I think this presents a tremendous opportunity for those clubs to do their broadcast in a different way, to bring their message to the fans in another way. And I think it's exciting. It's a chance to stream it and use your radio crew to stream the game and put it out there. And I think clubs would be missing the opportunity if they didn't show their preseason games around their area.
I wonder what the sticking point on that would be. Obviously, TSN would say, yeah, well, what are you kicking back to us? So then the local broadcasters, like Harvard Media, would have to try and offset the costs of doing the stream and then probably having to pay TSN some sort of money, unless the CFL did step in and say, listen, you guys aren't doing it anyway. You know, in the spirit of the Canadian Football League, let these guys stream it and cover it. I think it's a great idea.
I do. I think it's a tremendous idea. And I think TSN would be amiss if they put their foot down and said, no, you can't do this. It's our contract. Unless, if they're not going to cover it, then it's not part of your contract. If you're not going to be there, then it's an opportunity. And especially it's a preseason game. Then we're not taking the West Final, if you will, and saying we're streaming that as well. We're taking a preseason game and putting it out there just to enhance for the local club.
You own the rights, but let's be realistic here. You're not doing it anyway.
No. And I won't lie to you. The first preseason game is often a chance for some guys you would never hear of or see to see their mark. So you're looking at some obscure names playing in their only CFL game ever. I like to call it the friends and family game, right? That's who's going to show up and watch you. So
the Riders' first preseason games on Holiday Monday.
Of the long weekend.
May long.
Yeah. Well, there is an opportunity to travel then. It's not like on a Thursday.
Get some butts in the seats.
Yeah. It's usually crappy weather May long. Don't go camping. You know it's going to rain or snow or be really, really cold. Yeah.
You can almost, speaking of crappy weather in this province, usually 936-6262, we usually get Buddy from Carrot River. He always chimes in. I'd like to know how much snow they got there, because I heard up north
they got hammered.
They got drilled.
Yeah,
like 30 centimeters, Waskasoo style.
Nice.
Yeah. Where's your fishing camp? North of that.
North of that. Way north of that. Yeah.
Like they, I guess the north absolutely got hammered. But this weekend, Evan Barron, who does the morning show on The Wolf, he's there. So many people are. Winnipeg is the hub for spring hockey for the youngsters this weekend. Massive tournament going on. Every time you drive to Winnipeg in the spring or in the early winter,
yeah,
snow, crap roads.
I've only been to Winnipeg at two temperatures, 40 degrees, minus and plus. I've never been, and it's been another temperature in Winnipeg. It's been the pits every time I've been there.
It was funny when I saw the forecast coming through, and I know everyone knows driving there for the tournament, and I'm like, that's par for the course.
Standard.
Yeah, exactly. Of course it was going to snow and be absolutely gross.
You know what? I got to think that one time I came back from there, we played some team in the United States for senior hockey. I don't even want to bring it up. It's going to make my throat sick. We came back in a blizzard. We came back in a... Literally, the bus got hit by deer that ran out of the ditch and ran into the bus. It was some blinding snowstorm.
I like to avoid going to Winnipeg at all costs for anything. Maybe for a football game in the summer, but like you said, it's either plus 40 or minus 40 when you've gone there. So,
same temperature every time.
Time for a break. When we come back, we are going to talk more about the Western Hockey League playoffs and that absolute battle going on between Moose Jaw and Swift Current. It is the Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Back to the all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage, Saskatchewan. Barney Shinkaruk and Sharky here. Tomorrow night in Moose Jaw, the Warriors. A chance to wrap up that series with the Swift Current Broncos as they lead 3-1. I'm telling you, I'm a little surprised it's 3-1.
You thought it'd be 2-2?
Yeah, I did.
Do you know what I was surprised at? 2-7-2 games.
First two games are weird.
Like, are you telling me that you lost 7-2 and then won 7-2? Like, what kind of gobbledygook is that?
We're efforting to get Ryan Switzer on the phone lines right now. He had boots on the ground for both of those games, and he was watching it. And then, if you're just tuning in, Saskatoon, behind the hat trick, another hat trick from Igor Sidorov, they dump the Red Deer Rebels 7-0 last night. So Saskatoon is waiting.
It's not a surprise that Saskatoon swept them. Maybe 7-0, but they knocked out their starting goaltender.
Yeah.
And who's sitting for that? He's got a few more games to sit for that suspension, too. Is it?
He's the former Regina Pat guy. He had the hat tricks against Prince Albert. What's his name?
Oh, it's escaping us. But yeah, he's got a little time in the press box to enjoy and watch. He's going to be sitting through the next series, too. I think the first two or three games, he's out.
Easton Armstrong.
Yeah, he's got a little suspension to deal with. But, you know, to say I'm surprised that it's 3-1 Moose Jaw, no. What surprised me was the 2-7-2 games. I thought they'd be a lot tighter than that, not 7-2. But to say that I didn't think Moose Jaw'd be in control of this would be a mistake. But I thought they'd be a lot tighter. I really did. I thought they'd be a lot tighter than the scores that we saw.
The atmosphere tomorrow night, like, I really wanted to go to that game. Of course, things are not working out, but...
There's only so many days in the week you can get stuff done, right? You gotta
It's tough.
It is.
And then out in the West, Prince George Kelowna, PG's got a chance to wrap. They're strong.
They're very strong. Yeah, very strong. A great club. I don't know that they would come and beat the Blades or the Warriors, but they're a strong club in the West. And Portland's the other team to watch out there, too.
Wow. Yeah, that's going to be an absolute battle, which is good. I'd like to see the West have to battle a little harder.
I'm just going to look up the driving time from Prince George to Portland.
Yeah, you look that up. Can I take that's a tough one to guess. I'm going to go 945 kilometers.
At least.
While you look that up, let's go out on the Western Pizza Hotline. Okay. It's always an awesome night for Western Pizza. Pizza with generous toppings, all the Greek food you love. Visit your local Western Pizza or get Western Pizza delivered. Switzer from Swift Current. How is it going? You know what? Let's start here. Because Sharky just brought up the point, and I think I texted you this, or you maybe texted me. This series starts absolutely bizarro world with the scores in the first two games. You were boots on the ground. What happened there?
Bizarro World's a great way to describe it, actually, Barney and Sharky. Yeah. You know, I think the first two games were extremely similar. Just roles reversed. Game number one in Moose Jaw, everything was going in for Swift. They were getting the bounces. They had momentum. They took advantage of miscues in the opposition's defensive zone. And then the exact same thing happened 24 hours later. It was almost surreal to see, and credit the Moose Jaw Warriors. You know, I have no doubt that Mark O'Leary and their coaching staff, after that game number one, they looked at some video and they made some adjustments. But yeah, Bizarro World's a great way to put it, boys.
You said that Mark's probably not getting the credit that he deserves, especially after last night's game. That's what you feel.
Mark O'Leary, yeah, the Mark and the Moose Jaw coaching staff, I think they deserve a ton of credit. I mean, obviously, there's a really talented team there, and they have a lot to work with. But, you know, when you have hockey discussions with people and you talk about, you know, the elite coaches in the Western Hockey League, I think Mark O'Leary has to enter that conversation. You know, he's someone who was an understudy to Tim Hunter a few years ago. And he's seen a lot. You know, he's gone through the ups and downs that you go through in junior hockey. And when you look at the adjustments that Moose Jaw was able to make after that, I mean, let's call it what it is. It was a home ice embarrassment in game number one. And for them to thunder back the way they did, you know that there's capable people at the helm there.
So Swift Current going back in game five, obviously desperation. What are they got to do different? What are they going to bring to the table that's going to bring game six back to Swift?
Well, you don't want to oversimplify these things, Sharky, but, you know, I think they just got to do what got them to the dance, and that's put pucks on net. I think this is a team that's kind of stuck to the outside of the offensive zone, and they got to make life difficult for Jackson Unger, the goalie in Moose Jaw, because when you look at this goaltending duo, Reed Dick for the Swift Current Broncos and Jackson Unger for the Moose Jaw Warriors, I mean, the Broncos should have the advantage there. And both goaltenders have played great. They've made their share of big stops. But, you know, the Broncos, rather than looking for the perfect play, get pucks on deep, go hard after them. The Moose Jaw Warriors, Denton Mateychuk is an absolute beast, and Kalen Parker, an NHL drafted defenseman. But the Warriors are a team that give up goals. And the Broncos need to remember that, you know, 1-9, they got some depth up there. And they got to force the issue and, you know, get into those dirty areas, get into the slot, and just make life difficult in the offensive zone as best they can.
You know, it's interesting you talk about the goaltending matchup and the difference. If you're not getting any pressure on the goaltender, he's going to have all day to see the puck. It's going to be a problem. So we're looking for a greasy, more aggressive Swift Current team tomorrow night.
Oh, and, you know, you look at goals in the playoffs, and that's what happens. That's how it is. We know that Connor Geeky and Josh Filmon and Matt Ward are capable of sniping. But this is playoffs, you know. Park yourself in front of that goalie, battle in front of the net, and yeah, you know, look for get some twist ties and hope that you can bury some garbage goals.
I mentioned this earlier in the program, and that's where, you know, you mentioned the Moose Jaw coaching staff and the credit they deserve. Because when I watch it last night, and you look at the game sheet, and Swift Current, you know, they score the first goal, then they're up 2-1, and then Furkus ties it. But I watched the third period, and then when Jagr scored that game-winning goal, and I watched from there on, I just found that Moose Jaw's first line, before they scored that goal, Swift Current had no answer, which is scary because they have last change. They're at home, right? So they get a chance to put who they think can shut down that line or play hard against that line. And that line just looked like they were the home team, and they had last change.
Yeah, and that's the tip of the cap to Moose Jaw. You know, they've put together such an amazingly talented squad, and Swift Current, they need to play mistake-free hockey regardless of the lineup and who's on the ice and who has last change. Because with this Moose Jaw squad, you got Braden Jagr, just an unbelievable 0-5 player as a homer for the Swift Current Broncos, and knowing that they're going to be in the same division next year as Moose Jaw, I'm praying Braden Jagr has a great showing at Pittsburgh Penguins camp and sticks there for as long as he can. Maybe he can go the regular season because Jaeger Furkus up front, and then, you know, Adley Calvert, you know, this is a guy that almost buried 50 this year in the regular season. Like, there's so much talent up front, and in the playoffs, you have to play mistake-free hockey, especially against a team like Moose Jaw. And regardless of who's on the ice, you know, one miscue in your own zone, and it's in the back of the net. And, you know, we talked earlier about the keys to victory. I mean, in the offensive zone, Swift has to be aggressive. But, you know, in their own zone, be careful because, man, they'll jump on you.
Well, let's see how it all shakes down tomorrow in Moose Jaw. And, you know, I really hope Swift can bring this thing back, can pull that out tomorrow. But, you know, we've just...
And so does Saskatoon.
Yeah. You know, as predicted, they're sitting pretty up north there after that sweep. But,
Lester.
And I mean, you know, in Swift here, you know, we still got the faith, and we know that there's a talented team. We have strong defense, strong top four, 1 through 9 are forwards, and an all-star caliber goaltender. So this series is far from over, but it's going to be tough. You know, the Moose Jaw fans, give them credit as well. They've answered the bell. They're loud at home. They're loud on the road. They travel well. And, it's going to be a hostile environment and a high degree of difficulty for Swift. But they got the horses to pull it off. So.
Awesome. Thanks a lot again, Schweitzer, and we'll see how she goes.
Hey, thanks a bunch, fellas. Great talk.
Cheers. Ryan Schweitzer from Swift Current. Boots on the ground. Big Swift Current guy. Anything you need out there. It is the Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.
Best rope. Don't miss a minute of the all-new Sports Cage. Podcasts are posted at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage. Saskatchewan, Barney Shankirk and Sharky here, and it is for extreme hockey and sport. Hey, before we talk to Schweitzer there, you brought up a really good question. If the Prince George Cougars and the Portland Winterhawks play in the Western Conference Final, which it looks... like, that's how it's going to shake down. You said how far of a drive that is. And I must have been thinking of a few shortcuts. I don't know this road at all.
There are no shortcuts.
And I said 949 kilometers. It's more closer to 1,200 kilometers. And to your point...
It's not a straight line.
It's that, like, you look at it, and if they go with the traditional 2-2...
1-1-1.
And then one-bangers... Oh,
you'd spend the whole day off between games just driving.
You'd need more days. And I don't know how that works out. The thing that I understand it, you cannot fly until
the final.
The final, when east meets west, Rocky style.
That's as far in the division as you can get.
I had no idea it was that far. I knew it was far.
Well, again, it's not just far. From Prince George to Vancouver is a windy mountain road through passes and everything else. Then you got to cross a border, assuming that goes well every time. And I know they've done it a ton of times, so they're probably prepared and they got all the I's and T's dotted and crossed. But it's not Moose Jaw to Regina. It's a trek.
Oh, Swift Current to Saskatoon or Moose Jaw to Saskatoon.
Yeah, it's a piece of cake. You
can take a unicycle compared to this. And then halfway is roughly is Falls Creek, British Columbia. By that time, you're like, get me off this bus. Oh.
Can you imagine? Even if you left at 6 in the morning, you don't get there till 6 or 7 at night. Right.
I kind of feel sorry for those two teams, and they are going to meet. I think it's a done deal. Those
it's
two 3-1, teams
3-0. You would think they're going to get
three. Nice though for the team coming out of the East.
Yeah,
let those two teams travel and beat each other up and all that. So that's your Western Hockey League. We got one more hour on the program coming up after this. We still got to finish our Keniston Super Draft.
Yes.
936-6262. We do have a few calls and people saying, do not take the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I agree.
People, no one's mentioned about your caps. You're wearing your caps.
I'm wearing my caps jersey because this is as long as they're going to be in the playoffs. Yeah. I think they're in big trouble.
The three teams
I'm glad they're in, but it ain't going to be long.
The three teams we've taken so far in the East is Boston, Carolina, New York. We're going to have to fill in some holes because we've got about seven players that we need to pick. And also, coming up, head coach of the SJHL's Melfort Mustangs, Trevor Blevins, after that crazy series with Humboldt, and then Glenn Suter, bunch of CFL talk in the last half hour. It is the Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Saskatchewan, it's time to talk sports. The all-new Sports Cage is on the air. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. And we're always online at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Whoa. Welcome back inside the Sports Cage, Saskatchewan. Barney Shinkerick and Sharky, last hour of the program for Regina's Extreme Hockey and Sport. It's baseball, it's fastball, and it's Yeti season.
Probably some soccer in there, too.
Not sure. Undergear, for sure.
Cleats, for sure.
Possible cleats.
Yeah.
For football.
Yeah.
Extreme Hockey and Sport, 35 years, new owners. Things are buzzing over there. I think a really good program. Okay, let's get back at the this Kenniston Super Draft.
Love it.
Deadline Monday, 6 p.m. If you've never been in it, you got to go in it. Over 80K in prizes.
Are you doing a personal one as well?
Of course. Going in with some fellers, and we're doing the $7 for $200 one. But it's $40 for one. But you got the Super 8 as well, right? Super 8.
Is that extra, or is that part of your...
$10. Okay. Throw on a Super 8. Everything you need is at superdraft.com. The world's greatest playoff hockey draft.
Are we doing you against me?
Sure.
I like it.
Yeah, for what? A nice supper?
A little Western pizza?
A nice supper at Western Pizza.
All right.
There we go. Okay, we got to get the Sports Cage one in. 936-6262, please, if you have any experience in a hockey draft, because Sharky's driving me absolutely insane with this. First off, he thinks the New York Rangers are making the Eastern Conference Final, which I had to go with. Then we took Adam Fox, Alex Lafreniere, Artem Panarin, and Mika Zibanejad.
It's Artemi.
Artemi Panarin and Mika Zibanejad. I love Zibanejad there. It was a late pick for you. Then I went with Carolina, and we took Sebastian Aho,
yep.
Brett Burns,
yep.
Svechnikov.
And Teravainen.
Good
choices.
And then we dabbled with Boston and the Bruins. Marchand, McAvoy, Pasternak, because Boston plays the Toronto Maple Leafs. We had some texts in. Do not take...
I don't think
any Toronto Maple Leafs. Okay, yeah. So now we got to fill this out. We got to go at least five more players from our Eastern Conference teams. Now I'm going to battle you on this because I can see it in your eyes. You're thinking. Those eyeballs are thinking Tampa Bay.
They are thinking Tampa Bay. I'm getting off the fence.
But you're wearing a Washington Capitals jersey.
I am. Out of my emotional attachment to the Washington Capitals, I'm wearing the jersey today. Tampa Bay Lightning, however, will beat the Florida Panthers because of the power play.
Can we have a side bet on that?
Sure.
Something less than the fancy supper at Western Pizza?
We'll just go there for a beer.
Okay, we'll bet a beer on that one.
Okay.
I think Florida wins that one.
Okay.
So let's take two from each, because we're losing two guys, if that's what you want to do.
We got five left.
Five left.
Okay. I want Kucherov.
Duh.
And Stamkos.
Really?
Who else would you take?
Braden Point.
Okay. I'll go with that.
Okay. We're going to take Kucherov and Point. And you know what? I'm going to play this smarter. We're not going to take any Florida, because I don't want to lose any guys. So if we're going to ride Tampa, we're going to ride Tampa. So let's take one more Tampa guy.
You're not very solid on your bet.
Steven Stamkos?
Yes.
I'm taking one for the team here.
Okay,
I like it.
That's new.
Okay, so now that puts us, we need two more players. Do we go back to our guys? Do we take one Ranger and one Carolina?
They're going to play in the second round. They're going to play each other in the second round.
Yeah, so that's kind of dumb.
Yeah, either pick one there. And you know what? The more I think about it, I'm okay either way there. Yeah.
We're going to take Getzel. I got a feeling.
Okay.
We're taking Getzel from
Carolina.
The Carolina Hurricanes. got to add one more player, man. You sure you don't want to take... Who are the Caps going to play in the first round?
It's the Rangers.
It's tough.
They're not going to beat them in seven. They might get a game or two, but they're not going to beat them in seven. Sorry, Ross. It's just too hard. It's too big a jump.
You want to take another Bruin?
Dada.
Zaka?
I don't even know who Zaka is.
Pavel Zaka? He's Clay Zaka's brother?
Mrs. Zaka's son?
Charlie Coyle? Jake DeBrusque? Coyle touches the puck a lot.
Let's go with Coyle.
Okay, so now we're done.
Okay,
we're done. Our Eastern Division in the Keniston Super Draft. I'm going to do the West tomorrow with Derek Bidwell because that's still got to be figured out.
So read them out. Who do we got?
Okay, we got Charlie Coyle, Brad Marchand, Charlie McAvoy, Pasternak from the Boston Bruins. We have Aho, Burns, Getzel, Svechnikov, Teravainen from Carolina. We got Fox, Lafreniere, Panarin, and Zibanejad from the Rangers. And we got Kucherov, Point, and Stamkos from the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I like it. Where we're going.
That's our sports cage team. It. That's it for the...
That's Eastern Division.
Eastern Division, Western Division tomorrow. Get in and support the Keniston Super Draft, the Keniston Lions. Everything can be found at superdraft.com. One entry's 40. I love the 7 for 200. Just makes a lot of sense. All right, back to local sports. And the Melfort Mustangs are going to be taking on the Flin Flon Bombers.
The Whitney Forum.
The SJHL final starts tomorrow night. Oh, that place is going to be crazy.
Get your moose legs early.
We're going to ask him about it. Let's go out on the Western Pizza hotline right away. But I got to tell you, this guy's an absolute beauty.
Yeah.
Absolute beauty. He used to be a good golfer until he started coaching too much. So, yeah, it's Melfort. It's Flin Flon. Here we go. All right, now joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline, we're going out to the City of Northern Lights, Melfort, Saskatchewan, head coach of the Melfort Mustangs, Trevor Blevins. Blevs, you know, how do you explain this series against Humboldt? I was following along online, watching some highlights, and you've been around the league a long time as a player and a coach. Was it one of the wildest series you've ever been involved with or ever seen in the SJ?
The absolutely craziest series I've ever been a part of. It was a little bit of everything, to be honest. You had physicality, phone leads, and you know, players buying in, desperate. Just if you're a fan of the game, I don't know how you wouldn't love watching those seven games, actually.
And was it kind of a cool thing, you know, those two centers, I guess, being somewhat close and, you know, having the rivalries from years past? Like, you know, it wasn't like you guys versus an Estevan or, you know, you've both been in the league a long time, but it was Humboldt and Melfort. Like, they're just two iconic franchises pretty close to each other.
Well, you can say that rivalry has brewed up, you know, a few years back. So coming into this series, it was already there, and it just escalated, and it was awesome. Like, both centers, the fans were all bought in, and rinks were fairly full, and atmospheres were unbelievable for the players to play in front of. And they'll never forget this for the rest of their lives, and, you know, you got to give hats off to Humboldt and Scott Barney and Carter Hansen, and just how great of coaches they are, and the organization, and their players just absolutely laid it on the line. You know, ours did too, but it was just special to be a part of, and really had to go back and kind of watch game seven a little bit as a fan, to be honest, because it was when you're in the moment, you're coaching and you're busy and you're getting things settled down or trying to execute things, and just to sit back and watch it was pretty special.
Head coach of the Melfort Mustangs, Trevor Blevins, joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline. So you guys win games one and two, close games. They come back, win game three. Then you guys win game four in overtime, kind of starts this, you know, overtime thing. At what point, you know, and then games five, they win. Game six, they win in double OT. Is there a time that you're getting really nervous in all this and in like full disclosure?
Full disclosure, you know, I wasn't, and I'm being honest there. You know, maybe a little bit of nerves going into game seven, but we hadn't been desperate yet, mm-hmm. you know, in the game, in all the games, I thought. We didn't play our best defensively in all six games. And I really thought, you know, we took a step backwards in the series as the series went on in our defensive play. And so we had a real good heart-to-heart the day off between game six and seven, and showed some hard video, and the guys bought in. And I really thought we bought it most for the most part in game seven. You know, yeah, we blew a lead a little bit, but, you know, Humboldt just kept coming and kept coming. And you got to give credit to that. But for us, they actually tied up with a minute left. It was absolutely nuts. Just over a minute left. And then being down on the penalty kill, going into overtime, was it just made for drama. And like you said, it was that, then I was getting pretty jumpy, but I would say up to that point, it wasn't too bad.
Who can you showcase? You know, again, been around hockey a long time. You know, there's always those playoff players that maybe they're not getting the stats. You know, are there a couple guys that really in this series elevated for you, became playoff guys that maybe aren't showing up on the score sheet?
Oh, a dark horse or two. Boy, I'd like to say the kids we got on the back end, the two 05s, the 18-year-olds, Bo Eisner and Cole Unger, really, really played well. Everyone talks about, you know, Chase Friedmore and Leith Olsen as the great pairing, and that's unreal. They are. But I really think our four other guys, with Nolan Henderson in the mix too, and Nolan Roberts, those other four played a huge part in their success on the back end. And, you know, I think you got to think of Logan Belton too, or kind of our second line left winger. He's just a heart and soul, block shots, you know, gets pucks out, is a really intelligent player. So, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, I could go down the lineup too with all the kids, Nolan Patterson, Austin Shepherd, those kind of guys that really brought it. But, you know, yeah. Everyone right through the lineup, we had three APs drafted, man, and then so everyone points, and it's just the character and the adversity we had to go through. You know, it's phenomenal, the group that we have here.
How do you beat Flynn Flon starting tomorrow night up in the Whitney Forum?
Well, we got to take the atmosphere away, I think, is key. Have a good start. And you know, you got to weather the storm up there. It's tighter spaces, and they play really well. They forecheck hard, so we got to manage that. And, you know, for us, I think it's got to keep it simple to start and be highly competitive and hopefully ride the wave, right, that we're on. I think there's no excuses in our dressing room. There hasn't been all year. Regardless if we just got done an emotional series on Tuesday night, tired is a mindset. So let's get after it and make sure we got lots of jam and a good motor.
You talk about the atmosphere, and I was going to get to that, taking that, kind of trying to take that out of the game mm-hmm. early. Is that where you really lean on your veterans to do something like that?
100%. Like, we're probably going to play those guys a little bit more off the start just to get things settled down, you know, get establish a forecheck and establish puck going north, you know, as much as we can here and get it out of our zone is going to be key. Flin Flon, you know, they just prey on you up there. They, you know, the shot totals are always, like, ridiculous after the first period. They always throw everything at the net. So I think we got to limit that. And like you said, just, it's going to be crazy. You know, 2016 rematch for us up there, and you could barely coach it during the play even, or let alone when the whistle blew. So, you know, guys are just going to have to, you know, kind of be on their own. They're on the island a little bit sometimes, and just go and execute and play the best they can.
Are you looking forward to maybe some new chirps from the Flin Flon faithful directed at you?
I got it. The guy that's very the most vocal is my buddy. We wave at each other all the time. So I've got on the right side of him. Maybe I'll have to go buy him a couple beer or something, settle him down.
Hey, man. So fun. This is awesome to watch. I can't wait to see how this series progresses. And then we'll maybe chat, you know, as the series progresses, like I said. Best of luck, Blevs.
Yeah, thanks, Shanks. I appreciate it.
The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll-free 1-866-767-0620. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage, Saskatchewan. Barney Shinkirk and Sharky, 525 1900 Rose Street in Regina. If you missed any of the program, you can always catch the podcast later. WHL Talk, SJHL. We had Phoenix Coyote, season ticket holder, Kerry Snyder.
That's
16
cool.
years. Yeah, yeah. You can tell. Emotional night for everybody in Phoenix and Arizona in regards to the Coyotes yesterday. But now it's time to talk some CFL football.
The all-new Sports Cage with CFL and Saskatchewan Rough Rider legend Glenn Suter is brought to you by Quality Tire. With 9 locations across Saskatchewan, visit qualitytire.ca.
Suits, off the start, skill testing question. How far is Portland, Oregon to Prince George, British Columbia?
Well, that's a trek. That is a... you're looking at, well, it's 500 miles for sure, or probably a little bit over 500 miles, winding through the mountains from Prince George to Vancouver. I know that because when I was a kid, my dad used to take me, we used to live in Prince George, and my dad used to take me from Prince George down to Vancouver to watch one BC Lions game a year. And I'd listen to the other ones on the radio. So we drive that drive. I'd go to the game and the next day, and then he'd drive back the next morning to get back to work. So, yeah, it's a long trek just to get to Vancouver. And now to get to Portland, now you got to go through the border. So, the border is not an issue unless it's a busy sort of weekend day or something. And now you could be looking at a couple of hours on a good day, wait to cross the border, and then from there, from the border to Portland, I'm not sure. I would say that's another 4 hours.
792 miles.
Yeah. Almost 1,200 kilometers.
It's a trek, man, and I was listening it in, and that's a long way to go to turn around and.
One game.
One game, and then turn around and come back. Especially when we're allowed, there's flights, there's planes around.
Well, you can't, right? Because it gives us such an advantage that the Eastern teams don't have. So that's it's kind of a cool rule, but this is the WHL is going to be faced with that possibly here coming up. But let's get into the CFL thing. Canadian draft coming up April 30th. A lot of eyeballs on that. When it comes to the Canadian draft suits, like how much does a coach's philosophy play into the players that are taken?
Well, it's crucial. I mean, I think it's one of the most difficult drafts there is because, if you go to the NFL draft or NHL draft, you're taking the best player. That's simple as that. If you go to the CFL draft, you have to look at how you're going to manage the ratio, how you're going to, what is your game plan as a head coach going into the season? And it can change depending on what you do get in the draft, but what is your initial plan going into training camp? So let's say we want to play, 3 offensive linemen that are going to be Canadians. So we're looking there. So automatically, in the Canadian college draft, we're not drafting the best quarterbacks in the league, which happens in the NFL pretty much every year. So, they're looking at O-linemen. If that's your philosophy, then you might say, okay, now we'll go with another D-lineman, maybe a Will linebacker, and we're going to play a Canadian safety. And if you're Saskatchewan, it's a different strategy because you got all those great Canadian receivers. So it's it depends on the philosophy of the coach, and then you go in drafting sort of the best athlete, I would say, in that game plan. So you're going to need depth in your offensive line. So you want to make sure you at least get 1 or 2, maybe 3. I think John Huffnagel's been a master at that. If you go back and look at John Huffnagel's draft years when he was the head coach of the team and even beyond, I bet he brings in three offensive linemen every year, and often they are late draft picks. And back in the day when Anthony Calvillo was leading the Montreal Alouettes, I remember back then they used to draft, you know, three or four offensive linemen late in the draft, not the first couple of rounds, but they go late. So it's a unique draft because there are, you know, players that you might have to wait on. That's an obvious kind of gamble in some ways. But I think more importantly, you're looking for the players that are going to fit what you have as a master plan. Again, that could change. You could be surprised by, you know, two receivers and now your ratio plan completely changes. But I think every coach has a plan going in, and when they go in, they have to sort of fill the spots that work with their philosophy and their plan.
So the NFL draft runs before that, Glenn, and obviously some of these guys are eligible or on NFL radars. If they do get drafted, does it drop them out of the CFL draft or drop their value way more knowing they're going to go to the NFL camp first?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It doesn't drop their value at all. I think the guys understand the value, and that remains the same. But what it does is it changes, you know, where they take them, because they look at their roster and they may need, you know, you may be looking at saying, hey, we can't afford to wait on three draft picks out of our total, what is it, seven rounds or whatever it is. You know, when you can't just not have those three guys come to training camp. You'll be short in the areas that is your philosophy. In other words, it might be O-linemen. And two of them go down south, then you're looking at, hey, what if we get two injuries in one game? You know, now we lost two guys that we're still waiting on that are down in the NFL or waiting to get tryouts or whatever it might be. So it doesn't change their value. They're still obviously valuable players and good players. That's why both leagues are looking at them. But it does change the order. And I have a personal thing, preference here, guys, because I would honestly take guys that I'm almost certain will come to camp every year. Because you know what? Those big-name guys that maybe get an NFL tryout, if you wait on them two or three years, you may get a great gem. But in today's day and age of you know, hiring and firing coaches, are you going to have 3 years to wait for a guy, or
exactly
2 years to wait for a guy? Like, I'm bringing in, and you know, and the difference, honestly, I mean, Tom Brady taught us when he went in the sixth round or whatever it was, that it is an unexact science. Those guys, even the pro scouts in both leagues that have done this for a living their whole lives, they miss a ton. They miss a whole bunch. They pick the wrong quarterbacks out of the gate. How many quarterbacks have gone in the first round that were bust?
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. So it's an inexact science. I mean, it's a difficult, you're never sure on the next step. Can they make the next step? So knowing that, the difference between, you know, how many quarterbacks went ahead of Brady that year? Three or four, probably. I think.
Oh, no, there were, Brady can name them all.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's almost 12 or something.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, so all of those quarterbacks, most of which ended up not, you know, having long careers at all, you know, those were guys that you know, were busts for the scouts. So knowing that, you can tell that the fine line between you're a great player coming out and the sixth round draft pick or the fifth round draft pick, there's not that much difference. You know, there's a difference. You know, they're in the first round for a reason, but it's not that significant. And I just, if you start getting into the analytics and you start getting into the numbers and the measurables and you say, well, this guy ran a 4.3 and this guy ran a 4.35. Well, I can tell you right now, there's no difference in that. They're both fast.
Yeah.
So, you know, so when you think about that and how close it is, if I'm drafting for my team, I'm picking everyone that I truly believe, I have to be about 90% that they're going to be in training camp with us this year.
6 quarterbacks before
time. Yeah. off the draft here, you know, tough news for the Ottawa Redblacks. Running back Devontae Williams suffers a torn Achilles. I just find in the last 10, 15 years, while guys are training, more so than ever before, maybe it is social media, and you know, now everything's so readily available and you get the news and all that, but I feel like Achilles, they just blow, like, you know, way more than they used to back in the day. Am I crazy?
No, you're not. The good news is the reason that we're seeing that type of injury, I believe, is that the athletes are so much better. They're better shaped, they're stronger, they're faster. The downside of that is that as those muscles find new ways to get stronger, they put more pressure on the tendons, and the tendons are what can go. And I'm not a doctor, but I would suggest that, you know, the training that is done now every single day, it's intense. It's high level, high speed weight work, core work, all of the stuff that they do now, man, that, and we see it on the field. We see guys coming out pro ready way quicker than the old days because of that. However, the downside of it is that you can pop these tendons because you're putting too much pressure on them.
Knock on wood, obviously. Yeah. Right? We're seeing it in a lot of sports. Chad Kelly and his comment on the pay in the CFL, where do you land with that?
Yeah. Well, obviously, I don't like it. I don't understand it. I guess he was trying to be funny. I'll give him that. But it was in regards to the basketball player, the female basketball player that tore it
up. Caitlin Clark, yeah.
Yes, Caitlin Clark, yes, thank you. And, you know, in her draft, and there were people saying that she was the number one pick in the WNBA, and she's going to make under 100 grand or whatever it is. Well, apparently she's getting endorsement offers by the minute here, so she's going to do fine. But he made a comment, you know, that it's sort of CFL money. And, I've said many times that in today's economy, listen, 95% of the population is making what for a living right now? Probably 50 grand or less a year. Mm-hmm. And really, really struggling to put even food on the table. And you're complaining about your $1 million contract over the, you know, the next few years, that you're going to be one of the highest paid players. You're going to make, you know, what is it, over 500 grand a year in the CFL. And listen, if you don't like it, you can sit on your couch.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't think he was complaining necessarily on the tweet. I saw the tweet, and I don't think he was complaining.
Trying to be funny, like you said. Funny. Yeah. Trying to be funny.
Yeah, but the other thing is, guys, he's got a lot of other things on his plate.
Oh. Yeah. He's got a couple more issues to resolve.
Comedy should be put on the back burner right now, big chucker.
Thank you. Yeah.
Any comments about women at all from him should be on hold. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? We got to take a quick break here. Let's when we get back, let's get in, because I know we had a lot of Rider Nation today, you know, out in the socials, really perplexed on the two preseason games for TSN, and we have a great guy to maybe answer some of that. So stay on the line, Suits. It is our friend Glenn Suter for Quality Tire. Quick break. You're listening to the Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.
The all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
We're still rolling on the Western Pizza Hotline here with Glenn Suter out on the West Coast. And Glenn, yeah, a lot of people, like I said, a little perturbed about TSN only doing two preseason games. People, Chikai. It's a lot of money to put on a professional television broadcast. And they used to put four on. Now they went to two the last few years. People are making a bigger deal about this than it's worth. Right, Glenn?
Absolutely. I think it was about 10 years ago I was talking to a producer. I did reach out to a couple today, but they didn't get back to me in time. But I want to say it was about 10 years ago I was talking to a producer about how much it costs to put a game on. You know, we have to get the huge van, the 18-wheeler van that has all the electronics in it and the monitors and everything. That's where the crew sits. That's where the producer and director and ISO directors and all that are. They're in there, stats guys, replay people. You know, those trucks are ultra expensive. They're the same trucks, by the way, that do the NHL and NFL. And in fact, my Telestrator will often have like Tony Romo on it, and he has his tools that he likes, and I have my tools that I like. You know, and those trucks are you know, high priced, and then you have to pay staff and travel and you know, the setup and breakdown. I mean, I remember 10 years ago it was somewhere between $100,000 and $200,000 a game. And it was probably closer to two, and that was a long time ago. So we could probably, what, now with our, the way our government's running, we could probably triple it. So, you know, you're looking at a huge cost. And yes, there's value in putting the games on because our advertisers get an extra shot there. You know, we get promo time, and those are important. So, yes. And the fans get to see their teams. But, you know, especially the first week of preseason, you're looking at a whole bunch of players that likely won't be on the team at the end of the at the end of 2 weeks. So you know, it doesn't have any sort of lasting value. I think it's too expensive to do it from our network perspective, and of course we're watching the bottom line in a big way. You're seeing all the cutbacks in the major media companies and all the people that have been let go and things. I think you know, they're really watching that stuff. So yeah, it's too bad. I know the fans like to see their teams and see some of the new guys and get excited about the season. I'd like to do, and I suggest every year, but I'm not in those meetings where they make the decisions. So, but I would like to see like a 2-hour preview show where we show you a little bit of how a team finished last year, and then we show you their new acquisitions, and we have an interview with the quarterbacks that are going to be competing, you know, for the starting job, or if they have a starter like Trevor Harris, it would be that guy.
Maybe.
And, you know, and kick it off that way.
Maybe let Chad Kelly do 15 minutes of comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. A little stand-up routine from Chad Kelly.
That's a great show idea. No,
yeah, you know, in all seriousness, he needs to take care of business and make sure that he, you know, either pays his dues or whatever it is if he's guilty of what he's allegedly been, you know, what's alleged here. But, you know, that's serious business. He's got to take care of that, and we don't need. But if he does, and see what happens there. And he is the starting quarterback to start the season. Yeah, he'd be on, and you know, preview shows are a little less expensive, but you know, there's still is the cost.
There's value there. Yeah, there's value. Suits, on that same topic, then, and I've got a different take on this. Do you think one TSN would have a problem with some local entity streaming it or whatever, producing it and putting it on within their market? And two, what would be the value to those teams that aren't on the national broadcast to do that?
Well, you know, I think from a 10,000 foot view, it's probably a cool idea. You know, your fans get to see your team. You're sort of giving some guys a chance to some, you know, like if you're streaming them or whatever, you're doing your own cameras and things. I mean, those are all expenses. Someone's got to pay that. But I do know that with the money that's paid, and it's more money than has ever been paid for TV rights in the history of CFL, I think they're pretty protective of their rights. I mean, when the regular season starts, you have to okay any camera that isn't a TSN camera that's anywhere near the field. So, you know, I can say, like, again, I'm not in those meetings. Those are a few floors up from where I hang out in the Bell buildings and things like that. But I do know they're protective of the rights because they pay a lot of money for them. And then that doesn't, you know, include the production costs and all of that they put into it.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun to talk about, and it would be a cool idea for your fans to see it, and it would give some young broadcasters a chance to maybe get involved in different ways, which would also be cool. But again, in a world where it sort of revolves around bank accounts and money and who's paying for what, that's where I think the snag is going to come.
Okay, well, that was that went by way too quick. Next week, one thing we gotta put on the docket to talk about. I want to talk about you know, like CFL ratings and NHL ratings, right? That's one thing we were talking about where they don't really. But we gotta shelf that for next week. And then, sorry to inform you that they just put in a tax for color commentators, so you'll be paying even more tax.
Yes, this special year. Color commentator tax.
Color commentator tax. So unfortunately,
I'm sure within the next week he'll triple it.
Yeah. All right.
Hey guys, and I'm glad that Star Trek they found the Enterprise.
They did.
I'm excited about that. Yeah, excellent.
I think Barney had it underneath his bed is where it was. Yeah,
you clowns. All right, next week, Glenn. See you later, man. Have a good weekend.
Right
on.
Thank you.
Glenn Suter for Quality Tire. Always a good time talking to Suits. Quick break. When we come back, we're putting a wrap on things. You're listening to this home of sports in Saskatchewan, the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back inside the Sports Cage. Barney Shinkrick and Sharky here to wrap things up. And Sharky, I'm still chuckling that you came in all proud in your Washington Capitals jersey. I know you know our friend Ross Mahoney. Assistant general manager.
Yeah,
Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup. Awesome guy, and you didn't want to take one cap in our playoff pool for the Super Draft.
We're trying to win the Super Draft. Like a lot of respect to Ross and what they've done. This is not the year they're winning the Stanley Cup.
Okay, and then what's our supper bet?
We're gonna put a draft against each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Draft against each other. I like it.
Drinks on the Tampa Florida series.
Yeah. So program, if you missed any of it and you want to catch the podcast, you can always grab the podcast at thenewsportscage.com or anywhere that podcasts live. We started the show by talking with Carey Snyder, longtime season ticket holder of the Phoenix Coyotes. We got a little perspective on that team leaving from a person that's kind of stood by them for a long time.
You know, and I appreciate he's got skin in the game because he was a big fan, but that franchise needed a rebirth. It needed something new from what was going on there.
Very curious to see how it goes. Tomorrow, we're going to talk Salt Lake City with Sam Farnsworth from Salt Lake City television station. So that'll be interesting. We learned that you don't put an $80,000 bet down, a prop bet on yourself.
On yourself.
Like Jontay Porter from the Toronto Raptors did.
On an obscure prop bet on yourself for 80 grand.
That was fun with Arash Madani.
It was.
Talking about that. Western Hockey League playoffs. If you didn't hear, the Saskatoon Blades swept the Red Deer Rebels. So now they're awaiting the winner of the Moose Jaw Warriors and Swift Current Broncos, which game 5 goes tomorrow night in Moose Jaw.
I can't imagine there's many seats left.
But
call the Warriors. Find out. Get your tickets.
I hope the Broncos can pull that one out. It's going to be tough. Warriors are playing so good right now. Trevor Blevins of the Melfort Mustangs, head coach, as they head up to Flin Flon tomorrow. We're going to have a little Flin Flon flavor on the program tomorrow.
It'll be moose-like. It'll be moose-flavored.
You could smell the moose leg hitting the ice.
Maybe some jackfish. Be nice.
Yeah. I like to watch the stream of that game, that Whitney Forum. Like I said, I got to get to a game there. Glenn Suter, a lot of fun, as always, talking about the CFL and shedding some light on the expense to broadcast. Oh, we had a text here. We got a number of texts today. Thanks to everyone that chimed in on our playoff draft. But Bert, I like a guy that uses his name. Hopefully it's a guy. Bert, hopefully
it's his name.
CFL preseason game going head-to-head with Stanley Cup playoffs. Exactly. I'm more on the dollars and cents of it all.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a tough, it's a tough go.
Yeah.
Against the NHL. So that's where 620 CKRM will come into play, and people can go to the preseason games at Mosaic Stadium, and it'll be excellent, and we can see the rebirth of the Riders under Corey Mace. So, yeah, thanks to everyone for tuning in. Thanks for you stopping by.
Thank you.
I know you got like 13 hockey drafts in the next few days. Oh, so
busy kid. Busy kid.
I hope that we helped. And thank you, Saskatchewan, for tuning in. Back in tomorrow. I've got to say thanks to Colson, of course, as well, over there on the board.
Because it doesn't work without him.
Fantastic job over there. And too bad he couldn't have fixed my keyboard earlier. That was the only thing he didn't. Yeah. Thanks, Saskatchewan. It's the Sports Cage. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.